Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Paddy Power Betfair Q1 trading update. Your conference call is hosted by Peter Jackson, CEO, and my name is Stephanie, and I'm your event manager. During the presentation, your lines will remain on listen only, and if you require assistance at any time, please key star zero on your telephone and a coordinator will be happy to assist you. I would like to advise all parties this conference is being recorded and there will be a Q&A session. Now I'd like to hand your conference over to Peter. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephanie. Good morning, and thank you all for joining the call. I'm here this morning with Alex, and you'll have read the announcement released this morning, so I won't go through the Q1 results in detail, but I'll just say a few things before I turn to you all for questions. Q1 revenues were flat year-on-year on a constant currency basis, with performance affected by a number of factors as outlined in the statement. This, combined with the impact of FX and the annualization of new betting taxes and draft startup losses in the U.S., resulted in EBITDA declining by 8%. While this Q1 performance is disappointing, we have made good progress on the key strategic priorities I outlined in March. It's clearly too soon for these initiatives to have an impact on the first quarter, but we're seeing early signs of success. In Europe, our focus is on returning the Paddy Power brand to growth. I'm encouraged by the initial benefits from our improved product offering following the migration to the new platform. Firstly, customer feedback points to a significant improvement in customers' perception of our new apps, particularly relating to speed and reliability. Secondly, cross-sell rates from sports to gaming have improved, which I'd attribute to a number of enhancements. The gaming lobby and navigation has been improved for the Paddy Power brand. And secondly, the pooling of jackpots between our two brands means we're now offering significantly higher jackpot payouts, and this is attractive to customers. It's a great example of the platform integration finally delivering some of the benefits of our scale. And we've materially improved our live dealer product, with our two brands showing upgraded facilities. This has seen an improvement in the performance of our gaming business, with revenue returning to growth from February. In sports, Paddy Power customers have enjoyed access to some improved features, including a much better cash-out product and in-running betting in horse racing. And we're seeing strong uplifts in usage of both of these products as a result. These examples highlight the importance of our technology resources now being redirected to customer-facing products after 2 years of platform focus. Next month, we'll see us introduce additional product features ahead of the World Cup. And in Australia, we see an opportunity to compete more aggressively to take advantage of the potential disruption to competitors as they consolidate their operations and brands. Therefore, we are further increasing investment in sports bets, promotional generosity and marketing activity this year, and this is reflected in our full-year profit guidance. In the US, our businesses there are performing well, and we're continuing to prepare for any positive regulatory change. This good progress means that notwithstanding the lower Q1 profits, we expect underlying EBITDA to be between $470 million and $495 million for the full year. You should note that this guidance assumes no additional Australian point of consumption taxes should become payable in 2018. And it's also before any additional investment we may make in the US should there be positive regulatory developments there. We will, of course, update and guide on these items at the appropriate time should they become applicable. And finally, today we announced we're planning on returning £500 million of cash to shareholders over the next 12 to 18 months, and we'll commence a share buyback shortly. This represents the initial steps towards our medium-term leverage target, whilst retaining substantial strategic flexibility. Alex and I are now happy to take your questions, and Stephanie will help manage them. Over to you, Stephanie.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, your question and answer session will now begin. If you wish to ask a question, please key star then one on your telephone. If you then decide to withdraw your question, simply key star two. All questions will be answered in the order received, and you'll be advised when to ask your question. All other lines will remain on listen only. So just to remind you, if you wish to ask a question, please key star then one on your telephone. Your first question comes from Ed Young from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Good morning. I have three questions, please. The first is on the online growth rate. You've called out the impact of fixtures and also results from recycling sort of market level issues. You've also taken measures to address duplicate accounts and bonus abuse. Is that now done, or do you think that will be continued to be a drag for the remainder of the year? And are there any other company-specific issues there that are holding back growth? The second question is on the exchange. I think minus 7% is the weakest quarterly result since the merger. So can you elaborate on what's driven this and where you see competitive risks for that product? And then finally, on Australia, you mentioned being aggressive. How do you look at the opportunity there to grow market share? Do you think that market investment might be likely to be made permanent or might be higher? And what's your current expectation on the regulatory situation? Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Ed. Well, let's try and deal with those in the order you gave them to us. In terms of the online growth rates and the sort of, you know, the parts that you highlighted there, but there are certain things that, you know, we have done, you know, ourselves deliberately, which have caused a step change in performance. The most notable of which is the removal of all the duplicate accounts for the Paddy Power brand, and this is something that happened most significantly as a result of switching those customers, or that, you know, that brand onto our integrated platform. And we saw, you know, a significant reduction in turnover as a result of doing that. But it, you know, that's a positive thing from a revenue perspective, because we saw, you know, the removal of a number of customers who would have been trying to, you know, abuse our generosity. So that's something which has sort of been done, and of course we'll then continue to see that through the balance of this year. It will be, you know, into Q1 of 2019 when we start to lap that. Yeah, Alex, I don't know if there's anything you want to add on that piece. In terms of the exchange and the performance in the course, I think we've outlined the factors that contributed to the performance. What I would state is that, yeah, yeah, we are significantly overrepresented in horse racing in the exchange and in our Paddy Power businesses, you know, particularly in retail as well. And so the, you know, very large increase in cancellations this year has caused us, you know, a particular issue in the exchange as a result of that. We also, as a result of the results we saw, you know, received lower commission from some of our, you know, premium customers in the quarter. But for the exchange, the rest of our sports actually performed particularly well, you know, and I'd call out, you know, football, which is something which grew well in the quarter. Regarding Australia and the marketing investment, look, we don't yet know what the new point of consumption tax rates are going to be in the market. But we know that we have got, you know, disrupted or distracted, you know, Crown Bet and William Hill Australian assets. We want to take advantage of the distraction that the management teams in those businesses have. Of course, TAB and TAP's also going through their own you know, integration work as well. So, you know, we want to push hard in that market. We've got a great business, and we think there's a lot we can take advantage of whilst the competitors are distracted. As to whether the, you know, this is something that will be, you know, a permanent one-off change, you know, we need to see what happens when the point of consumption taxes come into place in the market and how people react.
I think, Peter, I would just add, in the first quarter, if you look at the margin in Australia, roughly one-third of that, of the decline, based on kind of our normalized margin, is due to our investment. The rest of it is results, but one-third is that investment that Peter is talking about, and we've highlighted, you know, additional investment going forward for Australia.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Patrick Coffey from Barclays. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi guys. Three from me as well, I'm afraid. On Australia, would you consider doing any further M&A there? I presume you looked at the William Hill asset. Would you do any more M&A in Australia? Second question, with regards to the Paddy Power overround. So if I look at my data in Q1, it looks like you've increased the overround in some of the popular markets like the 1x2 Premier League football. So that looks like overrounds up, but you're increasing your price, your promotions and free bets. Can you just talk us through kind of how you're positioning those brands in the UK market at the moment, with Betfair on value, Paddy Power on and all the promotions, and what you're seeing in terms of customer feedback there? And then final question on the US, in terms of your technology, what do you think your technology solution will be in the US in the medium to long term? i.e. will you be able to not work with OpenBet? Thanks.
Thanks, Patrick. But in terms of Australian M&A, as you would expect, we do look at opportunities to sort of grow the business through M&A, and we look very carefully at the assets that came onto the market. We couldn't get to the prices that those assets achieved. I think we've got a fantastic business in Australia, and if there are opportunities for us to do bolt-on M&A at sensible prices, we would do that. If any of you know any assets that are up for sale, please let me know. We'd be interested. In terms of the sort of positioning of Paddy Power and Betfair, and the brand positioning of those in the UK and Ireland, but I think we've been very clear that we are focusing Paddy Power on the recreational customer base, and I think we have been making some changes to the way in which we're rewarding loyalty with the Paddy Power brand, and it's something we've been able to take some lessons from in Australia, actually, and so that's something we've been focused on. And so, we have been making some changes to the way that our overrounds and promotional mechanics work for those customers. And of course, Betfair is very much focused on the core better. And so I think, you will see divergence of marketing spend, pricing, and sort of loyalty mechanics, for those two different brands as we position them into the segments which we think they're most suited for. With regard to the US, look, it's very difficult to sit here today and talk, confidently about what the right technology solution is for a market where we don't even know if it's going to open up. I mean, we could know more in 12 days' time, because that's when the Supreme Court, going to read out some more judgments. At this stage, we don't know whether technology is going to have to be, deployed, in, casinos on a state-by-state basis, whether you're about to run one stack to support the country nationally. So there's a lot to work through. As an organisation, I think we've got a lot of experience in operating in the US with our TVG asset. We know how to operate in states with divergent tax rates, as we do in Australia. So we've got a lot of experience, and we'll work through what the right short and medium term solutions are for the US if the market opens up.
Thank you very much. And just one follow up, if that's okay. In terms of the triennial review, would you now think that probably the best thing for you from a competitive perspective would be if the max stakes were cut to £2?
Look, Patrick, we've been very consistent on our position on the triennial, that we see the right answers being one where the maximum stakes are moved to sort of £10 or less. I think this has become, this is a, it's a lightning rod for the industry, and we need to get some certainty so that we can move on. We are continuing to invest in our retail business. We've opened a number of shops recently, and we are interested in expanding our retail footprint. I think the worst outcome for the industry is that we sort of muddle along with some half-baked answer, which is which just immediately raises the heckles of the politicians and regulators again. So I think we need to get some certainty and move on. In terms of the relative outcome for us, clearly in absolute terms, Fox TV is a big revenue item for us, and Alex can comment on it in a second. But in terms of relative impact for us, clearly, because of the share of retail for us as a group, we are going to be impacted less than others. But I think we still have we still have to make sure we get to the right answer for the industry, so that so we can move past it. Alex, do you want to comment on that?
Well, we've published. I mean, the targets that we've talked about, based on different, we've published it a number of times, based on different levels of FOPTI staking. Before you think of any kind of recycling or anything else, we've published before, and as we've said before, at a £2 stake, it will have a between 2 to 2.5% impact on revenue and 5 to 6 EBITDA impact on us before any mitigation.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Michael Campbell from Whitman Howard. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, gents. Just two quick questions from me, if I may. The first one's just on the online sportsbook revenue. That was up 3%, is the number you gave us in the statement this morning. But are you able to give us a split between Betfair and Paddy Power in terms of those growth rates? And then secondly, just to confirm, in Australia, you're increasing the marketing investment. Is that in addition to the £20 million you spoke of at the time of the final results in March? And if so, can you just give us a feel for what sort of level of spend we're talking about? You know, 5, 10 million more? Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. I mean, look, we're not going to give you the splits between Paddy Power and Betfair. I know I gave them to you for the 2017 results, but I told you at the time we wouldn't be splitting them out on an ongoing basis, and certainly not quarterly. Alex, do you want to talk?
Yeah, I mean, listen, by the way, 20 million really had nothing to do with Australia. The 20 million we've highlighted had to do, if you remember, with international loyalty and mainly Paddy Power and Betfair International. What we're saying now is that there'll be, based on the factors that Peter had mentioned, there will be 10 million additional net investment in Australia, obviously net of revenue, to try to take advantage of the disruption that's going on with the mergers and consolidations that is going on in Australia.
Okay, great. Thanks. So that's in addition to the 20 million.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Thank you. That's great. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Brian Devitt from Goodbody. Please go ahead.
Morning, guys. Just three questions from me. Firstly, on online gaming, I know you split out the growth rates by for February and March versus the rest of the quarter. I was just wondering, is there anything we should be aware of in terms of the comparative periods on a monthly basis from 2017? Did you have, for example, a particularly strong month in January 2017 or not? Secondly, I was hoping if you could give us an update on the performance of Draft in the US, that'd be great. And lastly, just on the exchange, I think in the statement you mentioned two factors that impacted on the growth rate there, being the lower winnings, the cancellations in horse racing, but also lower winnings from higher value customers. I was wondering, is it possible to separate those two factors? And if so, which one was kind of more relevant, or were they broadly equal, etc.?
Okay. Thank you, Brian. In terms of your first question around online gaming, look, you know, there was no, I don't know anything was going on from a comps perspective in 2017. What I would highlight is that, you know, in January, you know, the Paddy Power customers were, you know, in the main on the old platform, and in February and March they were on the new platform. And, you know, I think what we saw the benefits of were, you know, lots of small changes on the new platform, which have, you know, contributed to good growth in gaming. And I think, you know, when everyone's looking for us to sort of work out what the next big product announcement is going to be, I think we just need to recognise that actually it's going to be, you know, small changes which can actually have a reasonable impact on the business's performance. Regarding Draft, look, you know, we like Daily Fantasy. We think it gives you an interesting proxy on what's going on in the US market. I'm not sure.
The losses, as we've talked about before, are 15 million for the full year. So there's nothing really new to say on Draft.
And Brian, in terms of trying to identify the or separate those two factors that we outlined for James, you know, we're not going to try and sort of separate those out for you now.
I think the one thing you would say is that roughly 45 to 50% of revenue on the exchange is horse race revenues, all right? So just to give you a magnitude of what we're talking about and how important horse race is to the exchange.
And if 14% of races are cancelled this year, and it was whatever 4% races last year, you know, you can see that there's a big impact.
And the large customer impact also impacts horse racing, because they also have a lot to do with horse racing. So, yeah, that's really the only indication we can give.
Okay, that's great. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Richard Stever from Numis. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Three questions, please. The first question is, on the 20 million additional investment you announced at the prelims to revitalize the Paddy Power brand, how much do you think you've already spent in the first quarter? Just trying to see how much, or if that had a drag on the EBITDA margin. The second question just relates to an answer which Alex gave a few minutes ago on the Australian margin. You said about a third of it was due to sort of increasing in sort of better prices. In terms of sort of full year net margin guidance for the year, do you think that's now going to be about 0.5% below than the longer term average? So is that the new number we should be thinking about? And finally, could you give any comment on trading in April? Thanks.
Just on the first one, the vast majority of $20 million is to be spent in the first three quarters, in the last three quarters.
In terms of the Australian margin. Second question.
As I said, one third of it was trying to be generous and give customers more value. The rest of it was results. We do not ever predict or disclose or discuss potential margin going forward. So I wouldn't propose to do it now.
And any comments on April trading?
Any comments on April trading? I think we continue to see encouragement in gaming, right? The rest of it, there has been some cancellations in April that you should realize. 4% roughly so far of rating has been canceled. That's comparing to none last year in the same period, right? So there are some signs of that. Otherwise, really nothing else to highlight.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Julia Pennington from Credit Suisse.
Hi, guys. Yeah, Tal Grant here from Credit Suisse, actually. Just a couple of questions. The first one is on gaming. So good to see that that's improving in April. Just wondering, is the 4% growth you experienced in February and March, how does that compare to where you think the market is? And is that sort of part of the plan, or were you hoping to be sort of at market or above market growth rates by now? Or were you sort of expecting a sort of slow and steady acceleration? And the second question, obviously you've announced $10 million of extra investment in Australia because of the consolidation that's going on there. Arguably, the UK is still consolidating, so should you be investing further in the UK to take advantage of potential distraction at Piers?
No, I mean, in terms of the performance of gaming in February and March, after the performance we've seen over quite a large number of quarters, we're very pleased to see that some of the changes that we've made to fix some of the customer journeys and particularly around the cross-sells have delivered this marked improvement. And it's not hard to back out what was going on in January, and you knew what was going on last year. So the step change that we saw as we move customers onto our new platform has been quite marked. We're very pleased with that. I think the Australian market, quite a sort of strange place at the moment with all of the sort of consolidation that's going on, plus the impending introduction of the point of consumption taxes, and that's something we want to try and take advantage of. And as regards the UK market, I mean, it's not many weeks ago that we were announcing the £20 million of investment in that, in the market here. So, I feel like we're positioned well in both those important markets for us.
I thought the £20 million you said was for international.
No, the £20 million, the vast majority of it is for the UK. Some of it is for Betfair International, but the vast majority of it is in the UK. UK. And Ireland.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Joe Thomas from HSBC.
Morning. Just on Australia, could you perhaps say why you haven't seen more of a benefit of recycling in Australia? I mean, the staking number is fine, but it's a good number. But I'm just sort of wondering, why we've not seen the benefit of that that low win margin coming through more aggressively there. And then secondly, can you update us, Peter, on where you are with respect to the implementation of the plans that you announced in March? Sort of putting brands under, making brands more accountable to individual people and so on, and whether that's having any immediate impact.
I'm sorry, I can't comment.
When you pick up the recycling in Australia?
To be honest with you, I can't comment on why we haven't seen. I think it's a very competitive market. I think we're growing very well. We've highlighted that obviously results had something to do with the revenue growth. So I don't really have anything else to say with regard to why we haven't seen more recycling. It's very difficult to track, and as we've said over and over again, we really don't focus on stakes. We really try to focus on profitable customer activity, which hopefully will bear fruit.
And so just on Australia, is there still any drag from the N2 in-play betting coming through these numbers, and indeed credit betting? I mean, I'm sort of wondering what the proper sort of underlying number is once we strip those things out.
We don't think there is anything left, that there is any underlying drag from any of those.
Okay.
And Jen, in terms of the implementation of the March plans, and I talked earlier about what we're doing to refocus the Paddy Power and Betfair brands on those respective segments. We've got the people in place, we're delivering against that. You know, you'll see different, you know, the creatives that come out in advance of the World Cup that support it. So, you know, Ron and pushing, and, you know, as I said earlier, I think we're making good progress on those priorities.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Well, look, thank you very much, everybody, for your questions. I don't think there are any more at this stage, so Stephanie, we will finish the call up there. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That concludes your conference call for today. You may now disconnect. Thank you for joining, and enjoy the rest of your day.